For more on the Milosevic trial and its implications for future trials of national leaders, particularly the upcoming trial of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, we turn now to Diane Ormentlicker. She's the director of the War Crimes Research Center at American University. What can the international community learn from the problems at the Milosevic trial?
First of all, it's important within reasonable bounds to control the defendant in the courtroom. And the late Judge May, who presided over the first half of the Milosevic trial, set quite a model in that regard. There were memorable times when he literally cut the mic off of Mr. Milosevic. There were other times when he perhaps gave Milosevic too long a leash and let him go on too long with irrelevancies. And the Iraqi officials who have set up a court to try Saddam Hussein and others have studied this example, and they're aware of the need for maintaining control of the courtroom, but again, without sacrificing the rights of the defendant to mount a full and fair defense. I think another lesson they've learned is the importance of limiting the scope of the trial, and the Iraqi officials have already indicated that that's their strategy. They're going to charge Saddam Hussein and others with several exemplary cases that will sort of stand in for all of the other abuses committed during several decades of Ba'athist rule.
Is it possible to have an open judicial process that doesn't lead to the kind of grandstanding that we saw at the Milosevic trial?
Well, many attempts to politicize a trial will be legally illegitimate. And by that I mean Saddam Hussein may attempt to raise political issues that are simply legally irrelevant, and judges will have every right to say that's legally irrelevant, let's move on to something else. There is one important difference between the context of the prosecutions in The Hague against Milosevic and the upcoming trial of Saddam Hussein and others in Iraq, and that is that Serb supporters of Milosevic have not generally accepted the authority of the Yugoslavia War Crimes Tribunal. In contrast, Iraqis have, for the most part, very much wanted to have an Iraqi court put Saddam Hussein on trial. And so their attitude toward the prosecution itself and their receptivity toward the political grandstanding of Saddam Hussein may be quite different than the response of some Serbs toward Milosevic.
Another potential problem, it would seem, would be that Saddam Hussein could remind the world that he was once supported by the countries that attacked him, and that he might expose things that the U.S. and Britain and even some of the countries that remained on the sidelines during the war would rather remain secret.
That's absolutely right. I have every reason to expect that Saddam Hussein will try to remind the world that he was once one of our dancing partners, and Milosevic has played the same card. He's tried to remind the world that he was the great peacemaker in Dayton, but it's not a legal defense.
When you look at the proceedings in The Hague and the trial that we expect to see soon in Iraq, what is the purpose of putting leaders on trial? Is it really all about justice, or is something else at work, atonement or shame or giving victims a sense of closure?
I happen to believe the most important, or at least one of the most important reasons, is that victims do need some kind of official acknowledgement that what happened to them was wrong. And these trials can themselves be a cornerstone of the new era. They can signal the new government's commitment to the rule of law.
Diane Ormentlicker is the director of the War Crimes Research Center at American University. Thanks so much for talking to us.
My pleasure.